Static.
You would think after all these years we would probably get some new intro piece, but we haven't. We have not got any more intro pieces, and I'll blame that on Miles. He's probably not going to say anything else, but maybe he'll defend himself if I accuse him of being super lazy, but we'll see. Anyway, what's that, Miles?
Go ahead. Okay.
So anyway, tonight we have a special guest. We have Sir John Hargrave from somewhere on the East Coast. I can't remember. I think it's in the Boston area. We talked to him just after his last career collapse, and we're going to talk to him at the beginning of his new career collapse. He's going to be an author, and we're hoping that we can help him rocket to the top or bottom of the Amazon charts. So let's give a big hand to Sir John Hargrave.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Miles. So great to be back here again on Static Radio. I listen every week.
No, you don't. That's a lie.
I'm on. I listen every week.
Oh, okay.
I'm on.
I believe that.
Yeah. Huh.
Yes. No, it's awesome. I can't believe you guys are still at it. I'm so proud of you. I think it's fantastic. You know, the whole .com collapse, everything died, and you guys stuck with it. Just like us over at Zug.com, you guys stuck with it, and I'm proud of you for that.
Nice way to slip in the plug for Zug.com.
Thank you.
Zug.com, the world's only comedy site.
I love the way you say that, you know, the only comedy site.
Yeah.
Evidently, only comedy site if you don't have a search engine of any kind. But that's okay. I'll let you have it. So we're talking to John because he's got a book coming out, and it's called Prank the Monkey. And if you've ever read Zug, which I used to be an avid reader. I'll be honest with you. I used to read every day when you did your postings every day.
Yeah.
But whenever things changed in your life and you couldn't do them every day, then I've been real sporadic to read it. But I do read it every once in a while. And actually, I think I'd still get the your sporadic email updates, the Zug's Funniest or whatever.
Yeah, Zug's Funniest of the Month, which is published every other month.
Exactly. So
when we can.
That's about when I read it. I get those emails and I'm like, oh shit, I guess I haven't read for a while.
Yeah.
But so then I zoom on over. Actually, I read it a little more than that. But I haven't written it every day like I used to. Life gets in the way, you know.
I totally understand, and I only read it every once in a while too, so that's fine.
There you go.
Don't feel guilty.
But it is quite a sight you have there, and you've been doing that for how long?
12 years now. This will be our 12th year in operation. Which is only 6 years short of Static Radio, right?
Well, we're on number 8, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
After, I forget what year it was. I think it was year 5, I started putting a little number up in the corner some way. And it really, I don't think I ever really explained it ever, other than I just did it for myself because, you know, it's hard to keep track of things. So I figure if I put it there, then I'll realize in January I need to roll it over to the next one. So that's what I've been doing.
That's nice. A little reminder for yourself.
Basically, it's only for me. And I don't even know if Miles even realizes it's there or even has a clue.
What does that mean?
Miles, do you have a paralysis of the tongue tonight? Or what's going on, Miles?
Anytime we have an interview, Miles talks very little compared to normal. So
it's kind of like the whole Penn and Teller thing, really. It just works better that way.
I know, but part of their shtick is that you can see Teller.
Yeah.
See
oh. See. Yeah.
He's a mime.
Okay. All right. Question one, smartass. What is it with you? A grapefruit? Then what's this about? No. I read your book. I want to know what it's about.
Now, this is true. We sent you guys, actually, my publisher sent an advanced copy of the book, and who read it? Miles?
No, wait a minute. Let me clear this up, first of all. We do not live together. We're not gay. So, first off...
Well, I never thought you guys lived together.
Well, you only sent one book, so I figured you...
The gay party's not sure about
that. Yeah, there was always some question there, but...
There were some questions.
I knew that you were not cohabitating.
I actually was good. I was gone all last week, so I didn't want to get the book because I was worried I wouldn't read it anyway because I was going to be out of town for a while. So.
Yeah, so you're interviewing me completely blind.
But that's the way I normally do it anyway, so I figure, okay. what the hell, right?
But, okay, well, Miles read the book, so this is great because, Miles, you can give, the viewers of my website, readers of my website, don't have the book yet, so this is like a very special privilege to get the sneak preview of the book, Miles. What did you think? Was it brilliant, or was it just extraordinary?
It was a good read. You know.
A good read.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I don't read books, but yeah, it was good. I liked it. You know,
let me say before you answer that, Miles, I told my wife about this, and she goes, Miles reads? That was her reaction.
Yeah, I don't read anymore. But I think the chapter on chick juice is the funniest thing. You doing yoga and farting during yoga, I think was awesome.
Yeah, that seems to be many people's opinion at the high point of the book. Before I fart during yoga.
And you trying to seduce your wife with oysters and such. That was so funny. That was brilliant. It was funny.
Thank you. I enjoyed that.
So what were not the funny parts? What was the part where you're like, geez, I wish I could get through this chapter?
Writing the senators and their stupid responses back, I thought kind of, I was hoping to see some dirty jokes come back from a senator, you know, because you wrote on the guise of being like a little child or something, and to these senators trying to get like their favorite joke, and you know, the jokes that came back, you know, kind of like, you know, why did the chicken cross the road? You know, it's like that kind of, you know, I was hoping someone would like, you know, push the envelope a little bit, you know.
You were
joke,
expecting
you know.
To see some cutting edge stand up comedy from.
I wanted, yeah, yeah, I wanted, you know, some really raw, you know.
Maybe some ethnic joke from Strom Thurmond or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, you know, something. You know, throw me a bone. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, did you read it all the way to the end, Miles?
I didn't hear that, John. I cut up. I must have lost that. I didn't hear that part.
The end of the book or the end of that section? I don't know. What's the question?
Yeah,
I did not finish the whole book, I'll be honest with
you. Well, because it just came recently in the mail, so you didn't have time before the interview, undoubtedly.
Yeah.
To be honest, I thought he was going to finish it. I talked to him, and he told me it was pretty close to the end.
I was reading a lot. I had some other obligations, but I did read most of it. I enjoyed it.
You know, masturbation really kills a lot of people's time.
I'm sorry, you know.
But
that it does, Bob.
I'm just saying, I mean, you know, let's be honest here. Come on. And we know that Miles, I think it's been known, at least on this show, that Miles probably has a higher rate of masturbation than your average person, so.
And Miles, what's the count this week?
I'd prefer not to say that.
Well, I think the average is 2 to 3 times a week. Am I right? It's almost the same as the average for sex. For male masturbation, so.
Yeah, and what are we in the teens this week so far? It is Sunday
it
night.
Might be, yeah. It might be, yeah.
Well, considering that I sent him some material from the Consumer Electronics Show that I specifically gathered for him, he may be in the teens. I don't know.
I might take care of that a little while.
Oh, my Lord.
It's fun. This is a funny book. It's funny. It's very funny.
So now, what's the cost of this book? Let's get down to the brass tacks here. With me, it's all about the money. How much am I paying for the funny? Come on.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked, Bob. The book is, astoundingly, it's only $9.95.
Are you fucking with me?
No, I'm not. It's less than $10, which, of course, is less than the price of a shitty Hollywood movie.
Well, that's true.
Unlike a Hollywood movie, I can guarantee you'll be entertained. Hours and hours of entertainment in this. And hours of entertainment while on the toilet, which is much more than we can say for a Hollywood movie, right? Am I right?
The next question for Miles from me was, how much of this did you read on the toilet? Because he had, last time I visited you in your old house, you had a book the size of the phone book in your bath, and it was like the toilet fun book or something like that. I can't remember what it was called.
Uncle John's Bathroom Reader?
That was it.
Yeah.
That was a huge frickin' book in the bathroom that you had.
A lot. Yeah.
I like the title Toilet Fun Book a lot better. The Toilet Fun Book.
Shit, I gotta go get the Earl for that. Anyway. URL, whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
So
Miles, you do a lot of reading in the bathroom. Is that what we're establishing?
You know, you've never answered my question. Though. What's up with you screwing this grapefruit, though?
I forgot about that.
I'd like to hear that first before we go on with me.
I'm sorry, what was that?
About you screwing the grapefruit. Now, can we get back to that for a minute?
Oh, me screwing the grapefruit.
Yeah, can you just go into that a little bit?
Yeah, I did. I mentioned that several times in the book, don't I?
Twice,
yeah.
But he didn't read to the end, so maybe it's three times.
Well, I didn't get to the end. It might be in the show.
Yeah. Well, you know, Miles, I'm sure you know that as a teenager, you have certain needs that are left unmet and unsatisfied, especially when you're a kind of portly teenager with acne and severe facial lesions.
Uh-huh.
And
sorry.
Those needs are sometimes met by various pieces of produce, fruits and vegetables that you might find in your parents' refrigerator and might microwave for 20 to 30 seconds.
Was anybody missing this grapefruit the next morning, perchance?
Oh, no. I can assure you that the grapefruit was enjoyed by all at Sunday brunch. Mmm, somewhat briny, my father said. Slightly with overtones of mushroom.
You screwed the grapefruit and then put it back?
Well, I was trying to be a little bit more subtle about it, but thank you for insulting your listeners.
Didn't somebody just pick it up and go, what the fuck's this hole in the grapefruit for?
I lived in Ohio.
Or did you slice it in half and just rub it on yourself?
That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah, that wouldn't have quite the same effect, Bob.
Oh.
People do it with shoes, I know. That's just a weird deal.
Shoes? Shoes, huh? Do they put those in the microwave first? Or how do you deal with a shoe?
I think friction does the work for them, so.
That's got to be one. I mean, if it's like an infant shoe. But I mean.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
I've got like a 5-month-old now. They got like these tiny little shoes.
Oh,
just,
my goodness.
I mean, tiny.
Oh, my goodness. You know, if any good Google search on foot fetishes will probably come up with some kind of Keds, fuck your Keds kind of shoe thing going on there.
A full-grown adult shoe? I'm just trying to picture this. I understand it does have a tongue. Oh, thank you. Thank you, ladies and... But seriously, how, in God's name, a full-grown adult shoe?
I think two shoes, and you sandwiched the shoes together.
That's
my understanding.
Bob has a lot of information on this particular practice.
Oh, my God. You know, my dog just farted, and it's killing me. I'm going to tell you that right now. Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh. Okay, I'm sorry about that. I'm like, what's that smell? Certainly not shoe burning. So anyway, what's with this thing?
This is a lot like what I would imagine it would be like to be interviewed on NPR. First you talk about having sex with shoes, and then the host goes, oh, my God, my dog farted.
I'm just doing our normal show here. Fine. You're just involved in it, and I would normally mention that because it smells so hideous, but... I probably wouldn't smell so bad if I didn't feed the dog all my leftovers, but that's probably my fault, so. Whew, man, that's a stinky dog.
Would you like to pause the broadcast for a while you air out the room, Tom?
No, that's okay. So back to this grapefruit. So you had relations with the grapefruit.
I believe I did. Maybe it was a cantaloupe.
I was going to say, a grapefruit's not that, I mean, unless you get some of those really large grapefruit, I mean, you know, it's not. That's nothing to write home about, let me tell you. So.
No, especially when you're doing it at
That's
that would just be self-destructive.
And
mom, in case you were wondering.
I would hate to be, you know, if you get grapefruit in your eye, it hurts quite a bit. I couldn't imagine what it would do to your penis.
In your urethra.
In your urethra, exactly. There you go. Your urethra.
Yeah.
No.
But you know, hey, Miles.
Yeah.
Have you ever been, do you like the hot peppers?
No.
You don't like the spicy chili peppers, Miles?
No, I don't.
Have you ever been cooking with the hot peppers and maybe been chopping them up on a chopping board and then gone off to pleasure yourself afterward by accident?
No.
All right.
No.
Have you done that?
I had a friend.
Is this the next book?
Of a friend.
Okay.
Who told me about an experience like that.
Well,
his
I think
name was Miles Tidal.
Oh, okay.
Come on now.
I think I actually know somebody who probably did that because it's a guy I work with. He really enjoys the habaneros.
Yeah, right.
And he grows them himself.
Yeah.
And then he makes this pico de gallo.
Right.
But he always has these gloves, like, you know, surgical gloves.
Yeah.
That he wears when he makes it every time because if you get it on your fingers, it burns like crazy if you touch anything sensitive, so.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that I'll have to ask him when I get back to work. I'll say, have you ever, you know, touched yourself after making this, or put yourself in this pico de gallo? Because I heard of this guy that did a grapefruit, and
yeah. And where do you work again? A porn shop?
I don't work at the porn shop.
That's just interesting conversation to have with your coworkers. Is all
I will. You know what? I'll make it a point to ask this week, and I will answer that question next week.
I will listen.
Then you'll listen. Oh, well, you won't be on it, but that's all right. So, so no more elaboration on the grapefruit. I mean, is this a dead end on this piece or what?
Well, I'm not sure where we can go from. I think I have one in the fridge now. So hang on.
Let me just lay it all out there. So you got the grapefruit.
Right.
You had sex with the grapefruit.
Yeah, I think
you
so.
You climaxed with the grapefruit, and yeah. You let other people eat the grapefruit.
Well, you know, maybe I put it back in the fridge afterward. I'm not certain what happened to it after that.
In my mind, I see this whole little Web 2.0 iconification of this guy with this grapefruit. he's doing it, he's putting it back, and then other people are eating it. It's kind of like the circle of life.
Talk about melon balls.
Oh, we should get on. We should go on to the next thing. Miles, what's another thing in there?
I'd love more than an hour of talking about having sex with a grapefruit.
Well, what would possess you to do that? I don't think I've ever had sex with fruit.
Really? Not even like an orange or a mango tangerine?
No.
Really?
Nope. I never even had the desire to do that.
No?
No.
A ham or any kind of meat product?
No. No.
Really?
No.
No.
Never? Been curious?
No.
Really?
I mean, you know.
And yet here you are telling me about shoe sex in quite in detail.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my phone's ringing now. So hopefully somebody will get that besides me. So.
Yeah.
I hope so. I don't know who it is. It's still ringing, but I'm not going to answer it now.
We need more pictures of Jane.
It's probably the FBI trying to track me down, the whole shoe thing. Your phone. You're on your phone, so therefore it can't ring for them to call you. So they're going to try to call me.
Yeah.
So why a book? I mean, is this stuff that you've already had on your site that you've put out, or has it kind of got new stuff too? I mean, I didn't read it, so. I'm coming from the perspective of a potential buyer, whereas Miles is a potential leecher. So.
Yeah. A potential freeloader. Cheap ass bastard.
There you go.
Yeah, so about 200 of the 300 pages are all new pranks, you know, this was a big decision to make with my editor. We talked about, you know, should the book be completely new, should it be, like, completely stuff from the website, best of material, and my perception was kind of like, you know, if you're, like, a comedian who gets, like, an HBO special, you don't go out and do, like, all new material. You know, on your HBO special, you kind of like hone it over many months and you get stuff that you know is funny. So I wanted to do a lot of kind of best of, like the stuff that I'm kind of most well known for, like the credit card prank and the senator prank and things like that. And he said, no, no, I want you to do more new stuff. So we compromised, and I did about so about two-thirds of the book is new stuff. And it is, I truly think it is, like, the funniest stuff I've done. It's the best material I've written. It's far better than the crap on the site. And as Miles will tell you, the funniest stuff is the new stuff. And the parts that he hated were the parts that he had already read on the site. Right, Miles?
Yep. That's right.
Right.
I don't think Miles ever went to the site. Have you ever been to Zug.com?
I have. I saw it where you had destroyed a kid's inflatable jump around thing at some...
Go ahead.
All right.
Sorry about that. We dropped it. We're back now. Hey, you know, yeah, I did check out Zug. You destroying some kind of kid's inflatable jump around thing at a company get together or something. What was that?
Yeah, that was my wife's company's party, and they had rented out one of those inflatable moonwalks, you know,
yes.
And all the kids were inside the moonwalk. And I had a three-year-old at the time, and I thought it would be funny to get inside the moonwalk with the three-year-old and bounce around, and I'm having fun with the kids in there. And all of a sudden, you know those giant air hoses that are attached to the side of the giant inflatable moonwalk?
It like
flies off of the air generator, and there's like this... And you have no idea how fast those things go down. I mean, literally within 5 seconds. And kids are screaming and like trying, clawing desperately for the exit. And they're like, you know, and like caught in like yards of netting. And it was terrifying and yet hilarious at the same time. And my poor wife, who's trying desperately to impress all of her coworkers, is like, there's my fucking idiot husband deflating the moonwalk and suffocating your children.
Oh, my God.
Thank you.
That is a fun... That is a funny article, man. That is killer.
And what's That's with all funny. These grapefruits flying out of there?
And why does he have a grapefruit around his swollen member?
Sorry, I just
going to be like
song.
The grapefruit guy now.
Yeah.
I hope that all of the parents from my children's daycare are listening in to Static Radio, by the way, to hear about...
So is that, is there some type of artificial insemination via grapefruit that you got going on there? Maybe
yes,
a,
that's right. That's little, how I impregnated my wife.
You know, you need a lot of amino acids whenever you get pregnant, and so I figured citric acid was a good substitute.
Bob, couldn't he get like some kind of tie-in deal with like Sunkist or something? Or...
Yeah, I think it would be more like Dick Kissed, but that's okay. Yeah.
That would be Cum Kissed.
Cum Kissed, there you go. Like you'd be, it'd almost be like kosher, you know. Blessed by a rabbi, blessed by John Hargrave's penis. Anyway, so I didn't like that. Didn't like that joke. Sorry,
yeah,
I must have touched on a nerve on that one. Woo!
Yeah, maybe there's a whole line of food products in the works here.
Sure, there you go.
Yeah.
Spooterific.
Stay away from the cream-filled donuts.
Yeah, Twinkies. Wow. How come there's only one hole in the bottom of my Twinkie instead of three? Anyway. All right. Anyway, so... But that was that in the book? Was the jumper thing in the book?
No, the jumper thing's not in the book. The book is only pranks, Bob. That's the reason it's called Prank the Monkey. And the idea is that it is... massively orchestrated high-tech, high-stakes pranks and media hoaxes. I spent, you know, 2 or 3 years writing this book, pulling off all of these pranks in the book. And the idea is that all the pranks are against institutions and people that really deserve it. So, you know, like Ashton Kutcher is in the book, and Michael Jackson, Bill Gates, Bono, Madonna, Charles Manson, the Senate, as Miles said, the Queen of England, all of these... people, institutions, I pull off these massive pranks against. It took me a long time to write. I'm really happy with it. I think it's very funny, and everybody in the Static Radio audience will enjoy it.
So, now tell me, now it's not just you pulling off these pranks. I mean, doing something that's on a certain scale is going to have to be other people. Now, I know you have a partner in Zug.com, but I mean, how many more people help you with these things?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Just pick your favorite, and you can kind of dissect it for us here.
Yeah, well, you know, like a good example is this Michael Jackson prank, and you can read some of it on the website, but we go into much more detail in the book. And the idea behind the Michael Jackson prank was we wanted to stage a fake appearance of Michael Jackson in Boston, even though he was living in Bahrain.
Right.
So we hired this actor who really did look like Michael Jackson once we put the dust mask and the, you know, all of the crazy protective sheeting around his head.
Was it like Michael Jackson from the 80s, the 90s, the 70s?
No, it was like current day,
current,
you know,
day, okay.
Face-covered elephant man Michael Jackson.
Gotcha. So he's got the mask on and the
glasses
exactly. And everything.
And so we had this whole entourage. We had, like, you know, his bodyguards and his handlers, and I was kind of like his manager. And then we wanted to find, we wanted to have one of his sons come along with him as well. So
we
hired a midget, a live midget, and the only midget that we could find was a Mexican midget.
Well, okay, that's nice.
It was very difficult to get hold of a midget for this prank, so I called like this Latino talent agency, kind of in desperation, and they had a Latin midget whose name was Hugo.
Hugo, okay.
Hugo, and Hugo played his son, you know, and he had, like, the blanket over the head. You know how, like, Jackson's always walking around with the blanket over
right,
the head of
yeah.
his kids and all that, right?
So they don't get their picture taken, I hope, or he's just trying to smother them, and he's just doing a really bad job.
So you know, we had a limo rented for the evening. We had, a fake crowd of paparazzi, and then we had also tipped off the media. So, like, there were real press there as well.
Oh, God.
And we ended up... There was a charity concert, a $10,000 a plate charity concert being put on at this swanky hotel in Boston, and Gladys Knight was the headliner. So they actually had like this concert with all of these like wealthy R&B fans there, and Michael Jackson made a surprise appearance. We actually fooled the entire management, the producers of this whole charity event, into thinking it was the real Michael Jackson. They gave us like this extensive, like, private balcony that we got to view the concert for free from our own private balcony. They waited on us hand and foot.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was absolutely insane. It was, like, the craziest night of our lives. But that's a good example of, like, you know, these pranks go much, much beyond me. I'm kind of the orchestrator, but I have a squad of elite pranksters who helped me with these.
So let me ask you a question, though. So you're organizing this, right? You got to give them a number, right? You got to give them some information of where they can contact you.
That's correct.
And so do you set up like a fake phone and everything? Because it would be so easy to come back and find that it's you and not really anybody, you know?
Yeah, I have a stunt cell phone number that I use. And I also have a number of voicemail services that I employ that will give me temporary phone numbers that I can then forward along to my real cell phone. So that's a good way of kind of disguising your phone number.
I know, but I think those would come up as under something, at least. I mean, they wouldn't be masked totally, would they? It would come up as so-and-so. Whenever you put a number in somewhere, it's going to come up as something. And it's not going to come up as Michael Jackson, obviously, but it wouldn't necessarily come up as, you know, Eon Entertainment or something like that.
Yeah, well, first of all, Michael Jackson is never going to call anybody himself, so you're covered on that front. And I usually use my real name, or I use some variant of my real name. You know, I use John Hargrave, or I use Joe Hargrave, or George Hargrave, or something like that. So that kind of throws them off the scent a little bit, and it also makes it easier to kind of... Remember the lie, as it were, because, you know, I can show them my real driver's license if they ask, or my real passport, or what have you, and, you know, nobody really thinks twice. So it's not as difficult as you might think. I mean, just kind of playing the part and having the attitude is really 90% of the battle.
So it's more of an acting kind of thing, then.
Yeah, it really is.
So... did you reveal to them that this really wasn't Michael Jackson, or did you get revealed?
It's kind of a funny story, which you can read in the book.
You want me to go on to the...
Available on Amazon.com right now for pre-order, and will be available in your bookstore February 6th. But at the end of the evening, we're up there in the balcony, And as the Gladys Knight concert ended, I told our fake Michael Jackson, I said, go over by the balcony and just kind of look over the side a little bit, because this is, you know, Gladys Knight's ended, and there's this, like, applause, you know, huge applause,
yeah.
Enormous ornate ballroom. Every wealthy donor in the city is there. The mayor of Boston is there. So I tell fake Michael to go over to the balcony. And then there's just this audible gasp. I mean, it was just like everybody in the room had heard that Michael Jackson was going to be there.
Right.
And, like, flashbulbs started popping. And, of course, we had, like, tipped off all the media that Michael Jackson was going to be there. So they're all down there, like, taking pictures of it. All the local news is there, and they're all filming fake Michael up there in the balcony.
Uh-huh.
Well, before we know it, there's, like, this guy from a local Boston newspaper walks around our private screened-off area
uh-huh.
and comes over and starts threatening Michael Jackson.
With
and
what?
He realizes at this point, like, kind of the jig's up. He's like, you're not the real Michael Jackson. If you were the real Michael Jackson, how'd I get over here? And he's sort of threatening, you know, he's looking at Michael Jackson like...
Because my bodyguards are terrible.
Yeah, exactly. So it was time to get out of there, so we all got out really fast. And but they did not catch us. They had no idea who we were. We left an anonymous donation in Michael Jackson's name because I'd gone to the trouble of actually getting a credit card in Michael Jackson's name before.
Nice. Very nice. Yeah.
So we actually made a real donation to this charity in Michael Jackson's name. And it was on the front page of all the papers the next day. And it was kind of like a, hey, we're pretty sure this wasn't Michael Jackson, but look at these crazy pranksters who, like, got in and out of this charity event and fooled everyone, and wasn't this funny?
So how much do you have to pay a fake Michael Jackson?
It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. I mean, a lot of the more elaborate pranks in the book cost thousands of dollars. They really did. And considering I only got a $5,000 advance to do the book, you can see being an author is not a terribly attractive financial proposition.
So you actually got money to do the book, even. So that's even better.
Well, I had some money before I spent it all doing my wacky hijinks and practical jokes.
Oh, okay, so they kind of bankrolled it a little bit then for you for some of these things.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
A little bit.
Would be the key word.
But I was so. How do you finance these things? I mean, you're for at least from what I know from your website, which I didn't know you had another kid, so I've not been reading it a lot. But the you know you don't. You're not some highfalutin, you know, trust fund kid, as far as I know.
That's correct.
And so, how would you finance something like this?
Well, I grow pot in my basement.
Oh, really? Well, then, is there an email that we can send some coded message to, or what? Can I get a Bratz doll just like that little girl did for Christmas, full of cocaine, or what?
No, you can't.
Oh, darn.
No, the website makes some money, which I invest all back in these wacky pranks that we do. And, you know, I have a day job, so I finance a lot of it myself. And I don't know. I'm not very good with money. I guess that's the answer to your question. I'm really, really not so good at saving.
So is there a fund for your children to be taken care of?
No. They're
in colleges?
No.
Future college, you know, are they really smart or anything?
I don't know. Too early to tell on that one, but they'll be paying their own way through college.
My guess is they retain a lot of water because they probably got some kind of grapefruit gene in them, but that's okay.
That's right. When you squeeze them, citrus comes out. It's amazing. But their urine is especially high in vitamin C. Thank you. I'm now making jokes about my children's urine.
And that's why they're so desired by pirates, to fight off the scurvy.
Scurvy. That's right. Arr, give me some of them Hargrave boys. Arr.
I can't pee anymore, sir. I can't pee. Take pity on me, please. So, anyway.
Good call on the obscure scurvy reference, by the way. That takes a certain kind of brilliance.
So,
scurvy joke.
Well, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean is big, so you know we gotta work it all in here. So anyway, you put your real name down on these things, right?
Yeah.
Or at least some version of your real name.
Yeah.
And usually the last name is pretty close.
Yeah.
So I mean, you gotta figure they're gonna come back to you or somebody. I mean, it's got to work its way back. So, like, whenever something like this happens,
yeah.
I mean, don't people get pissed and then they're, like, knocking on your door and your wife's going, ah, I don't know what you're talking about. You're, like, cowering in your bedroom or something or what?
Yeah. That's a good point. I should probably think that through.
So I guess nothing like that's happened yet.
Not yet, no, but thanks for layering on that added anxiety there, Bob.
These are the things that go through my mind. But anyway, I would not want Charles Manson to respond to my address. That's just me. Call me crazy. If I even thought that might happen, I certainly would throw out my Helter Skelter album so that it wouldn't be anywhere around that he could play it when he came over or anything like that. So
yeah.
That would be my worry. I mean, you on the web, you have a certain anonymity, but whenever you do things like you're talking about, you really run the risk of being retaliated against.
Yeah, I do, and I think that's kind of there's an Ashton Kutcher prank in the book where I actually go to the length of legally changing my name to Ashton Kutcher, just to get back at the Hollywood actor/asshat known as Ashton Kutcher. I actually go to a court of law and have my name legally changed from John Hargrave to Ashton Kutcher just so I can get back at him. And I did it because on this, like, season one of Punk'd, there's this moment where he screams out defiantly that he can't be pranked, that nobody can possibly, that he's untouchable somehow.
Okay.
So that to me was a challenge. And see, I would never say something like that because you're exactly right. Somebody will and somebody can't. It's very easy to prank. Anybody who wants to can easily do it. And so I don't really want to encourage that kind of thing.
The pranking or the changing your name to Ashton Kutcher?
The pranking or any kind of retaliation.
Because now, essentially, you've just said that if anyone could do it, I mean, then that kind of doesn't make your book as special as it was at the beginning of the interview. If anybody can prank. Oh, he's not going to answer that. Now he's pissed off at me.
No, I don't understand your question.
You said anybody can prank anybody, so that kind of, like, you know.
Oh, no.
Anybody your whole book is, you know, about pranking people.
I'm saying
people.
Anybody can come after me.
Okay.
So I would never make any kind of claim like that because, you know, people have done it before and I'm sure they'll do it again. And it's, you know, they're usually not that clever when people do them. And it's just like, okay, that's fine. You got me. The bucket of the water over the head. That's funny.
But you're the out front guy. I mean, even with all these people, like the Mexican midget and the Michael Jackson and their whole bit there. But you're the guy that's always out front for all these things. Is that the case?
I'm kind of like the orchestrator heading it all up. That's right.
Are you walking around the house? It sounds like you're walking or something.
Yeah, I am. I'm sorry. I'm carrying infant toys up to the living room right now.
Okay. Far be it from us to stop you from your daily routine.
Hang on, I gotta go to the refrigerator. I need a grapefruit.
If you'll just please tell me before you have to use the restroom. I always hate it when I call Miles and he's flushing the toilet. It really bothers me. Yeah, there we go.
Oh, sweet.
Sweet. Somehow I knew it was gonna head in that direction.
Hang on. Give me a minute.
Wow.
Oh my goodness.
Jeez.
I don't remember eating asparagus.
Oh my goodness. That's
tie that thing up. Let's go.
Woo. You need to go more often. That's what I would say. You're just going to ruin your bladder and your prostate and everything else.
You think?
Yeah, that whole tract is just going to come right out of you one day.
Oh, sweet.
You don't think that was about average length?
Seemed a little long to me, but then, of course, it was very uncomfortable for me. I generally don't like to...
Right. Record a radio show while a guest is urinating.
Yes, that's usually problematic for me. I just have a problem with that now.
I understand.
Now, these seedless grapefruits, or they have seeds in them that you've used in the past for your satisfaction there.
Were they seedless?
That's the question.
I don't recall any seeds of pits.
Now, you're not, I mean, this is when you were a young person, so, I mean, you know, I don't know how old you are, but maybe seedless wasn't even invented yet. I mean, come on now.
That's right.
That seems to be a fairly new phenomenon in the late 80s, I think, the seedless trend. So I don't know if you were, how old you were in the late 80s, but...
Some kind of crazy genetic crossbreeding going on.
You could have been...
Maybe I invented the seedless grapefruit just by inseminating one. Who knows? By injecting it with my own seed, as it were, I made the seedless.
These grapefruit seeds taste like caviar instead of seed. Anyway, so what's next? I mean, you got this book coming out. I mean, what kind of expectation do you have for it? I mean, come on.
Well, I'd like to sell at least 18 copies. That's my goal. If I can sell 18 copies, then we'll all consider it a big success. So that's each of the two of you buying 9 copies of these.
I was
Miles already read it, or most of it. So,
most
Bob,
it.
That might leave it up to you to buy 18 yourself.
Yeah, more than likely that's the way it would roll, I think, yes.
Yeah.
But I was thinking that with your money management skills that you probably would have already pre-ordered 18 just on a whim.
That would probably be smart. Hey, I bought 18 copies. Hey, and we're doing a thing on the website. This is true, actually. If you buy 3 or more copies, you can be entered to win a Compaq Presario PC. This is true. We're going to have the drawing on May 1st, so you just need to buy 3 copies, and there's more details on prankthemonkey.com. Prankthemonkey.com, that's the website for the book, and then Zug.com, of course.
Now,
Zug.com is my comedy site.
Now, to be totally honest, which I always try, you know, every week Miles and I try to be totally honest.
I really appreciate that about you guys.
I don't think I want to give any kind of personal information to the prankthemonkey.com, to be honest with you.
That might be a smart move now that you mention it.
You know,
there's a deep flaw in this marketing plan.
I, you know, email or otherwise, or even physical location, because I realize that both of us live in the Midwest and we're not out east, but considering your penchant for throwing cash around with abandon, I wouldn't think that it would be too much to fly into, say, Lindbergh International Airport, possibly put yourself up at the Renaissance downtown for a couple of days, and somehow, next thing I know, I'm floating in the Mississippi in a mail sack. With a grapefruit on my ding-dong. So anyway, did your editor mention this at all, perhaps thinking that, you know, you enter a contest and the winner gets, I don't know, intimate pictures of bananas and orifices of them taken, or what?
I've got a great idea. Let's do a contest and the winner gets abducted.
There you go. That's what I'm thinking.
Killed.
Well, I didn't say killed. I just, you know, parts of the Mississippi aren't that deep, so it's not that big a deal. You can pretty much stand up in parts, so.
That's right. The dredging won't take more than 3 days.
But, I mean, come on. I mean, that's the first thing when you said that ran through my mind was like, you know, Even if you bought
Maybe
through
not the most trustworthy character.
Even if you bought through Amazon, I don't think they're going to protect your name from the person who is selling it. I mean, they should get all that information as part of the deal, right? So
that's true, but you know, look at it this way. It's probably still more safe than it is with E-Trade.
Well,
I
wouldn't even think you knew about E-Trade because I think you zero balance every month and therefore
Oh, a zero balance would be a nice place to be right now.
Honey, what can I do with this extra 20? Oh, you think so? You think if I go down to the corner and, you know, get a Mexican midget to do a dance for me, I can convince people that it's Juan Valdez or something? But I mean, that's just bizarre to me how you can do that. I mean, how does your wife feel about all this?
Yeah, my wife is she's a living saint. It really is.
I would think so. Either that or, I mean, there's got to be something there. I, you know, personally, from the distance here, I see no value to being involved with you in kind of any kind of relationship. But other than just talking to you on the internet.
Let me go tell her that right now. Hi, honey.
I mean, my wife is very nice, but even on Sunday nights every once in a while, I say, well, you know, I got to talk to Miles tonight. And it's the eye roll and the, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, it's not you, Miles. It's the whole idea that I'm going to spend, you know, an hour and a half or whatever talking to you. So
quality time.
Well, it's tough, isn't it, guys? You know how it is. It's tough. You've been doing this for like a decade now, right?
I guess, yeah.
You got the wives and you got the kids and everything. It's a real labor of love after a while. But, you know, your wives support you. They do, or you wouldn't still be doing it. You know, if they really hated it, you wouldn't be doing it anymore. So, hey, here's to our wives. Here's to them. Come on. Let's raise a grapefruit to our wives right now.
I just want to thank my wife that I've never fucked a grapefruit. That's all I want to say.
Amen.
I'm thankful that she's there and that I don't have to resort to molesting fruit and so forth.
That was before I met my wife.
Oh, okay. Well, you just keep saying that and it'll come true, Al Gore. But anyway, so, Miles, I feel like, again, I never even read the fucking book, and you're the one that's still not talking. So.
Does your wife have, like, a Princess Leia outfit at home?
Does my wife have a Princess Leia outfit?
Yeah.
I'm afraid she does not.
Oh, okay.
But that was an interesting non sequitur, Miles.
Thank you.
Interesting.
I was looking at her picture here in the book, and I was just trying to picture her, like, in the whole...
That's a lovely... you know, at least my honest statements don't involve undressing your wife, John. Yes. I just want you to know that, okay?
Yes, that's right. As offensive as Bob might be, he at least doesn't talk about masturbating to the guests' wives. That's...
You can. Yeah, I will guarantee you I will not molest any fruit or think about your wife while I'm masturbating at any time. So.
Yeah.
Because I don't have the book, but maybe if I had the book, I would think about that, but I don't have the book, so.
You know, I'm really glad that I did this interview tonight. This is great publicity for this book, and great for me personally also. This is excellent.
Is this your first interview for the book?
No, not my first. This is my radio interview. Yeah, first radio interview, because it doesn't come out till, you know, like February 6th. So I'm doing kind of the pre-stuff now. But no, this is my first radio one.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad it's going so well. I mean, I couldn't think of a better way to have an interview. These are the kind of interviews you just don't get on the public airwaves that I think should be there, to be honest with you.
So true.
I mean, everybody's so polite, and it's such bullshit. I mean, you know, this is honest. This is real. This is the way I feel. But I really am glad that you wrote us and everything. We haven't talked to you for so long. And I want to say, let me say this here before we finish up. If we do, I don't know. We can just keep going. But I mourned the day that Computer Stew was canceled.
Oh, thank you.
And I know that's been like 8 years or something, 7 years since that happened. And I want to tell you, though, that, you know, if for people who are probably aren't familiar with Computer Stew, it was a... a daily video show that John put on with, I'm going to say his name wrong, but Al Natanagra, something like
Al
that.
Al Natanagra, who also did the illustrations for Prank the Monkey, my longtime collaborator and co-conspirator.
So I knew I'd get his name wrong, but you guys were doing that all those years ago, and then look at today, you know? That has really blossomed, not necessarily for entertainment so much all the way, but... certainly there are, and I actually watch a lot of them and listen to them, a lot of shows that are devoted, that are only online, and only content that's delivered online for video and audio.
Yeah, that's right, like Zay Frank now.
I don't watch that or listen to that, so. But yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, Zay Frank does this show, which is very similar to what we were doing back in... 1999 and 2000. I think it was a little bit ahead of its time. People always say that, but it really was. I think people didn't have kind of the high-speed connections back then But it was fun. We did a lot of crazy things. I really appreciate you remembering the name of it and getting it correct.
And Moses,
my co-host, though, was Jay Stevens. But
right.
Tanagara did help out as well.
Well, yes. But Jay was not as on the – on. And Jay is your co-conspirator in Zug.com, right?
Jay used to be, and then he was like the co-host on Computer Stew as well.
But he was never really out front as much as you were. And then I knew Al from the background and other things that his name was thrown around there. And Moses Blumenthal.
Yes, who still helps out with our pranks on Zog.com. Yeah, he actually played a big role in the Michael Jackson prank.
He didn't play Michael Jackson, did he? Because he certainly didn't look anything like him. But
He did. We actually had two Michael Jacksons that night, and he did play one of them. Yes.
Did he really?
Yeah, he looked nothing like him. You're right.
But I'm sorry, I got his name wrong. But I'm really trying to pull this out of history. I haven't watched it or anything for.
That's amazing that you're getting as much right as you are.
I will tell you. Let me give you the setup for this interview. Miles read the book, and he sent me an email I just got before we start talking about some things that were in the book that I should know. And I have nothing else written down, and we're just kind of winging it. And that's the way I like to do it, and that's the way we do it every week. We don't really – now, normally, we don't get this email about these talking points or whatever you want to call them. This was just for you. So he evidently thought that we should be a little more prepared – talking to a major, author in the field of comedy. Now, the other question I have for you, and this just comes into my head, is why, after all these years of doing online stuff, are you doing a print piece, a book?
Well, first of all, because they made me an offer.
Okay.
Because the publisher actually came and said, "Hey, do you want to do a book?"
Who's your publishing house? Can I ask?
The publisher is Kensington Publishing, and
this isn't one of your fronts, is it? Because this sounds like a whole elaborate prank to me.
Sure
does. It's on the back
of
the book.
Now that you mention it, that would be a very funny. So they had a lot of success with a book called Real Ultimate Power by this guy Robert Hamburger, and you've probably seen this website. It's all about ninjas, and it's written by this 12-year-old kid who's like totally into ninjas.
I've never ever heard of that.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a very funny site, and they commissioned this guy to do a book based off the site. It sold like 100,000 copies, so now they've got this little side gig going by signing up internet humor authors and having them do books. So they also did the recent. Maddox, who does the best site in the universe? Do you know Maddox?
No, I don't know that at all either.
Do you guys know about this thing called the Internet?
Yes.
Very little.
It's a vast interconnected network of computers where you can store and obtain information.
I'm more in the enclave of I just put things out and I really don't try to get around too much. That's my thing.
Okay. Well, that's a good
theory. I'm the content maker. I don't need to read all this content. What the fuck am I going to do reading content all day? You know what I'm saying? Come on. That's like a Dennis Miller right there. Come on, John. What am I going to sit here? And tickety tick, tick, tick. I just want to look at some titties. Tickety tick, tick. All right.
It's like Boo Radley doing Schoenberg. Yeah.
So, sorry. So then they came to you and they wanted you to do this book. It just baffles my mind, to be honest with you.
It baffles mine too. Let me be honest with you.
I mean, not that you're a very good writer, and to be honest, I really miss your daily stuff.
Thank you.
But see, this is like, 10 years gone or something. I'm living in the past. I miss computers too. I miss the daily stuff. And now, I'm just like, wow, I got a book? Go figure. I actually knew this before you actually wrote us. I remember looking on your site and seeing this information about Prank the Monkey and so forth. But
now, see, Bob, you could buy the book and you could read one page a day and you'd have almost enough for a full year. So there you go.
Maybe instead of putting out a book, you should put out one of those daily calendars.
A daily calendar, yeah.
With a couple, on the daily calendar, they always give you the bonus days that you really don't even want because it's not really a day, and so.
That's right. Hey, it's leap year this year, even though it's not.
And then you could say.
January 29th.
The Michael Jackson thing could take up half of February.
That's
okay? And maybe like Black History Month. Michael Jackson prank. And then on the other half of it, maybe you could prank, I don't know, old blind black men out on the street somewhere.
Yeah, and then January could be National Grapefruit Month.
Exactly.
And February also could be National Grapefruit Month.
There you go. And maybe you could have Al do some little drawings on like some kind of Karma Sutra of grapefruit.
I have a prediction for you, Bob and Miles. Here's the prediction I'm going to make.
We're going to fuck a grapefruit sometime within the next few weeks.
I'm fairly certain that's going to happen. I don't even have to predict that one. This one, you guys, I mean, you know, I have a publisher. It's all very flattering. Somebody come approach me and so forth. You guys, I'm telling you, somebody's going to come and approach you guys, and they're going to want you to do like a radio show on Sirius or some kind of crazy internet radio network that they're building or something like that. I'm telling you, your day is coming shortly, my friends, because you're funny and you've been with it for a long time and you've got a lot of experience. Now you can get him, Rocky. Go get him, Rocky. You can do it, kid. Go.
I really enjoyed that, except for your emphasis on the word coming. That was the only problem I had with that whole speech, was you kept saying coming and you kept emphasizing coming, and I just can't think of anything but the goddamn grapefruit and... Now I've got pictures of this little fat John Hargrave coming in a grapefruit. Did you at least do coitus on the grapefruit? That's what I want to know.
We did have some tender foreplay, in that I lovingly caressed its skin.
Some cunnilingus. Is that what you had, cunnilingus?
I can't believe that.
Don't shoot yourself in the eye.
I should do like a 3-minute video for you.
You know,
a grapefruit porno and post it to YouTube just so you can A, picture it once and for all, and B, get your daily fix of John Hargrave, because that's what you need, Bob.
I want to see that, except let me set it up for you. Here's my suggestion at your YouTube video. You need to do, have you ever seen Kids in the Hall? You know that show?
Have I seen every episode, and do I have them stored on VHS cassette in my basement?
I figured that you did. So remember there was this character called Mr. Heavyfoot.
Of course, Mr. Heavyfoot.
And he had this music. I love that music. Dun, 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 yep. Dun. Okay, you have that music. You have a sheet.
With the French subtitles.
Yes, well, you can do French, right. If you want to spice it up and make it more erotica, then you can do that. You have this white sheet, and you have a light behind it. And you walk out, you're beside the sheet, and you hold up the grapefruit. And you go behind the sheet in shadow. You take your clothes off, and you, in shadow, you have sex with the grapefruit to make it all the more titillating.
Yeah.
And then possibly, like a magic trick, you can have the grapefruit float above the sheet. And around the sheet, you know, kind of like those great magic tricks. That I would love to see on YouTube.
Yeah.
And it sounds complicated, but I think that you could do that. I mean, with all the people you got, I mean, you know, to help you.
Yeah, that's artsy.
Well, I like that, though. See, to me, that's really the essence of those kind of is the titillation and everything. I don't like now Miles, he is much more down and dirty. He would love to see a close-up of you going thrusting into the grapefruit. He would love to see the rhythmic porno music and the bumping of the skin on the other side of the grapefruit from whence you are plunging into it and so forth. But I'm more artful, so.
Some juice in your eye, too. I'd like to see that.
Yeah, exactly. You're wincing when you get the juice in the... When you first stab it and it shoots you in the eye. Exactly, yes.
A money shot.
Oh, you know. The grapefruit gets back at you before you can get it. You know what I mean? It's kind of a whole...
Right.
You know, now that you mention that, it sounds very gay. That whole... Because the grapefruit gets him first. And it sounds very gay at this point. I don't know why, but...
Maybe it's a schmuck.
Very gay.
It was a very hetero experience up until that moment, wasn't it?
Yeah, when you get shot in the eye with a grapefruit while you're piercing it, that's gay. I think that's where you know. Woo, you know what I mean? Yeah, it's nature. That's what I'm saying. So, John, any parting words here as we come upon an hour on this interview?
Well, I'd just like to thank our sponsor, Tropicana, for tonight's interview. And I want to thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it. Again, I'm proud of you boys, and I want you to keep it up because it's only going to be a matter of time before you guys hit the big time. And then you're going to regret all the fucking grapefruit talk.
Why?
Because this is going to play over and over again, and they're going to go back in their course days.
Oh, my God.
Robin Miles of Static Radio talk about grapefruit coitus.
I'm hoping to move from that into cross-dressing, but that's just me. I don't know. I'm hoping to be, you know, go to, from, internet to, you know, mainstream media to, Vegas, cross-dressing showgirl. But that's just me. That's my career arc tonight as we speak. I believe that I have the chest to make the cleavage for the Vegas showgirl. I could easily do, a charo, perhaps. I could possibly be Tyne Daly or Sharon Gless, whichever one you don't want to do, Miles. I'll do either one.
Thank you.
In their Cagney and Lacey days and beyond. Yeah. So either one, you know. I still have good, you know, bone structure, and my face is still firm, so therefore I would, you know, wouldn't need the tapes or any kind of surgery yet, so. Anyway, but John, thank you very much. I appreciate you thinking of us after all these years and taking our abuse and talking to us. It's been fun. I hope you all the success in the world, even though you're not going to get my name, thank you very much, on your buy list, because I'll be afraid that you'll be at my door knocking and, you know, scaring my children and talking about scurvy and all so forth. But
did I mention that ordering through Amazon is trustworthy and discreet?
Oh, is it really? Okay.
Yes.
Now you sound like you're selling a marital aid. Okay. So.
And in a sense, I am, Bob. I am.
Is there instructions? Is there a pullout in the back of the book so you can roll it up or something? I don't know.
You heard Miles say it's all about the aphrodisiacs, right, Miles?
Oh, I love that chapter. I was very aroused reading that.
Well, let's just go through. I know we didn't get through everything, but there's an aphrodisiac part. There's a part about you taking Viagra in church. There is a part about, of course, the credit card part. There's also a part which I found interesting, which I wanted to talk about. We're running out of time here. That you put banned books in Walmart and bought them, as well as the Peace Day Resistance for all people who are listening to this on the internet, kissing Bill Gates' nipple. Thank you very much, everyone. John Hargrave, I hope that you're very successful. Miles, anything else?
Thank you, John, for being on the show. It would have been a little more interesting if you would have been kissing Liz Hurley's nipples instead of Bill Gates, but next time. So,
yeah,
that's all.
And thank you, Miles, for reading up to three-quarters of the book.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
That's more he did in college, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that's good. I realize that. Thank you.
All right,
guys, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, Zuck.com, FrankTheMonkey.com, fuckagrapefruit.com. They're all at John Hargraves. Go visit. Get his hit rate up. Till next time.